What is the current state of our rhinos in South Africa? This is a question everybody wants to know.
Thanks, Andrew. Yes, so the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, their African Rhino Specialist Group, they've recently released a report that estimates the number of rhinos that we have left on the African continent. And unfortunately, the status of African rhinos at the end of 2021 has declined since their last report in 2017. They estimate that we've lost about 1,400 rhinos since the last number in 2017. So we're looking at about 22,137 rhinos left on the African continent. So that includes the white rhino and the black rhino. Unfortunately, the white rhino populations have declined to just below 16,000 rhinos. But the good news is that the black rhino population has grown since 2017 at a rate of about 13% every year. And we're now looking at having 6,200 rhinos at the end of 2021. So that's really good and encouraging news for the black rhino population.
Yeah, that is. And that is due to what? What is the reason for the incline of the percentage?
So the incline of rhino populations can be attributed to just all the amazing conservation work that many agencies, governments and NGOs and private sector have put into conserving black rhinos. So at WWF South Africa, we've got a black rhino range expansion project where we are looking for safe habitat for rhinos in other places in South Africa as well as Southern Africa. And also finding these habitats are not just suitable for the black rhinos, but also safe and secure. And to date, WWF has established 30 new populations of black rhinos, and we've had 100 calves. So those kind of initiatives really contribute to growing these black rhino numbers.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. Well done, well done. And then is it encouraging to hear about the growth in black rhino population? Why are we still losing rhinos, though?
So unfortunately, wildlife trafficking and especially rhino poaching is still the major reason of why we are losing our rhinos. The same report says that between 2018 and 2021, they estimate that we've lost about 2,700 rhinos to rhino poaching and rhino horn trafficking. And South Africa, having most of the rhinos in Africa, is still bearing the brunt of that loss. South Africa has had 90% of the losses that they've recorded. But according to the poaching rates, poaching has gone down, but it's likely because, one, we have less rhinos, so they are a bit more difficult to find and access. Secondly, there has been an increase in the law enforcement efforts, especially in places like the Kruger National Park and the surrounding private reserves. And there has been some other interventions as well. So in the Kruger, they are dehorning their rhinos. And some of the private reserves around the Kruger National Park are also dehorning their rhinos. And we've seen a reduction in rhino poaching. But unfortunately, we're also seeing that that pressure is now just moving into other areas where rhinos are, you know, available and also not being dehorned. So places like Umfolozi in KZN, as well as private reserves, are seeing an increase in rhino poaching.
Yeah, oh, that is very unfortunate. And it's sad also. It's quite traumatic if you go onto social media or wherever and you see the footage and the pictures of rhinos being killed for their horns and so on and so forth. So we all know what that's about. And tell me, what needs to happen? What needs to happen? How do we stop this? How do we say enough already?
So I think, first of all, we need to recognize rhino poaching and wildlife trafficking exactly for what it is. And it is a crime, and it requires an appropriate response because it is a crime. So that means we need all arms of law enforcement. So that is your police, your rangers, your border control, your customs officials, prosecutors, judges. Everyone that's part of the law enforcement chain needs to be knowledgeable and skilled when it comes to this so that we can get successful prosecutions. And yeah, we can really look at not just, you know, successful prosecutions of poachers, but also people that are higher up into the wildlife trafficking chain, right? So here we can really take our hats off to countries like Mozambique. In January this year, they successfully convicted a poaching gang leader. So that's a person that's higher up in this wildlife trafficking chain. And they gave him 30 years in jail. And July, again, they arrested a notorious poaching gang leader. So that's really encouraging to see. And we need to see these kind of things in South Africa as well. Secondly, I think we also need to recognize that these wildlife trafficking syndicates, they're not just driving a decline in rhino poaching. They're also affecting the people who live around these protected areas as well, bringing criminal elements into communities that might not have experienced these kind of criminal elements before. So we have this interesting challenge of not just protecting our protected areas, but also protecting what we can call our unprotected areas, which is our communities around these protected areas.
Yeah. It's a huge, huge problem. Before we carry on, just explain quickly the main responsibility of WWF, which is the World Wildlife Fund. What is the main focus? What are they there for?
So WWF South Africa, it's a large organization and we have different areas of focus. So yes, we've got a wildlife program, which is where I'm working. And we're looking at, you know, landscape conservation, you know, looking also at specific species like elephants and rhinos, kind of as indicator species of a healthy and a safe environment. So, you know, if we're looking at rhinos and the rhinos are struggling because of issues like illegal wildlife trade, that indicates to us that there is a bigger problem. Mm. So yes, we focus on some species conservation, but we're also looking at more kind of broader landscape conservation. But then we've got other programs as well, like climate programs, energy programs, fresh water programs, and food programs as well. So we've got different themes within our program, and each person has different projects that they focus
on. That they run with. Okay, well, that's actually very good news. It's fantastic to know that there's an organization out there that sort of is a body overlooking, you know, almost from above, because you're on the ground doing groundwork, but you're also in a capacity where you're sort of trying to make a difference from the top, if that makes sense. Am I right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, you need that because you've got people on the ground. You've got anti-poaching units. You've got the honorary rangers. You've got people being involved in trying to make a difference on the ground, but you need this governing body up there to be able to pull the strings that's necessary from a top level.
Absolutely, Andrea. And I just want to recognize that there are so many amazing organizations and people here in the Lowveld that are working on these issues. You've got organizations like Conservation South Africa, the Southern Africa Wildlife College, the Vembe Biosphere Reserve, the Kruger to Canyons region. All these organizations are working on these kind of issues of conservation, of rural development, of improving people's livelihoods, not just saving rhinos. And the role that we at WWF have played here in the Lowveld is not so much necessarily on the ground, but working with these organizations who are doing amazing work on the ground and providing more strategic support to them as well. And like you say, having a bit of an eagle eye look at what the challenges are and providing support to these local organizations here in the Lowveld.
That's the pretty word I was looking for, because that's exactly what is happening. And because on the ground, I think you can do whatever is in your ability, but without an eagle eye, without an organization that's as your back, then you sort of won't get far. So this is fantastic work. And then WWF South Africa working on relating to rhino conservation in specific. I know all these other factors, but in specific rhino conservation, what are you doing at the moment concerning the rhino conservation in South Africa?
Yes, thanks, Andrew. So there's a few things. So our approach have always been to recognize that law enforcement support is required. So like I said earlier, you know, we do need good law enforcement to address this crime problem, because, you know, rhino poaching and wildlife trafficking is not just a conservation crisis, it's a crime crisis. So we are providing support to people like Sandbox, for example, their ranger corps, providing legal training, providing leadership training. We look at improving wildlife crime scene management. We are providing training to prosecutors and judges. So really supporting every step of and every chain within that law enforcement chain. But secondly, we recognize that the people that live around the Greater Kruger are affected by wildlife crime as well. And we need to understand that wildlife wildlife crime takes place here in the Greater Kruger in a context and an environment that allows these criminal syndicates to operate, right? Mm. So we've got 3 million people that live on the boundary of the Greater Kruger. Some of these areas have the highest density of people and the highest levels of unemployment. Yeah. So people are really struggling. I mean, there's poor access to, or there's poor service delivery. I mean, we see these protests like on a weekly basis, if not more frequent. Yeah. People have poor access to education, to health services. And unfortunately, there's also the big issue of people having a poor relationship with nature and with wildlife and protected areas. We unfortunately have a history, a political history of where people have been removed from their land and denied access to wild places and nature when we created these parks. And we live with that legacy, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, many of the 3 million people that live outside the Kruger have never been inside the Kruger National Park. They've never seen an elephant or a lion. I'm sure many of your listeners, you know, are avid visitors of the Kruger National Park. But these people who live a mere few hundred meters away from the park have never been there. I mean, the first time some of them have seen an elephant is when it, you know, came into the village, gave half the gorgos a heart attack and, you know, after raiding the crops, you know, of someone's farm. Yeah. So some people have a very challenging relationship with wildlife. And one of the things that WWF and all our partners are trying to do is, one, we want to increase the benefit for people living next to protected areas. They should see the protected area as a good thing, something that they can benefit from, right? So if I can give an example, we, together with Sandparks and with Conservation Outcomes, we've got this project where we're going to grow the wildlife economy here in the Greater Kruger, specifically in the Gijana and Bavula areas, where we'll be establishing a game meat supply chain that's been sustainably sourced and ethically sourced. And people will be trained into this supply chain, people from the community. And they will also have a financial benefit for being part of this project. So this is an example of, you know, bringing nature and people closer together and creating some benefits from that for people. And then we also want to reduce the cost for people that live next to, protected areas. Like I mentioned, the example of an elephant crop raiding, you know. So that is, for people, a negative thing to live next to the protected areas. So here we have projects where we're supporting, again, Sandparks with having environmental monitors. So these are people that are employed from the community and they patrol the fence line of the Kruger and they check for, you know, fence breakage, evidence of perhaps wildlife leaving the park and entering community areas. There are also people that, you know, a community member can phone and say, listen, there's a lion here. You know, we need your help. And they communicate with the rangers to come and collect the wild animals and chase them back into the park. So that is a way that we can try and reduce the chances of people having wildlife having a negative effect on people. So those are the kind of costs and benefits of being next to protected areas. And if we can increase the benefits and reduce the costs, we're hoping that that means people can have a more positive relationship with nature.
And it obviously, as this is it's a far bigger and more complex job that you guys have that sort of meets the eye, that you would normally just think, well, you know, just stop stop poaching. What's your problem? This is back to basics almost. And it's got a lot to do with education, to educate people to say, this is important, et cetera, like you've just explained. So it's a fantastic initiative, but it's also a long-term one. Surely.
So, Andrea, I just want to comment on that. So I think it's not just about educating, you know, the communities and people that live in communities. I think that's a perception that a lot of people have, but I think it's also about educating ourselves. You know, people who live in Johannesburg and Nelspruit and Cape Town, you know, we all have perceptions of what rhino poaching looks like and what the problem is. But I think we need to really immerse ourselves in, you know, different stories around, you know, this rhino poaching problem. There's so many different sides of, you know, this one coin. And I think people need to be open-minded to realize that, you know, we might have a value system of, you know, I love rhinos. I love seeing them when I go to Kruger. And other people have a value system that's not the same. You know, they see these animals maybe as a negative thing. And we need to work with that, right? And try and find a middle way that, you know, can keep everyone as happy as possible. So at the end of the day, we do have a healthy rhino population and healthy ecosystems. Yeah.
Yeah. The public, me and whoever, how can we get involved? How can we assist? Is there a way that somebody can get involved with your organization to be able to lend a hand?
Yeah, so Andre, I think also many of the other organizations here in the Lowveld, I mean, there's lots of organizations that accept donations, of course. Just make sure that you research the organization before you make any donations. There have been issues in the past, I think, of these kind of rogue organizations that take donations from people. So just be conscious of that. But I think a lot of the decisions that are made around wildlife management is taken at a government level. And you know, it's decisions that you and I don't necessarily feel like we have a say over. You know, our government decides, you know, whether, you know, how things should happen. And it's embedded then within policies and legislation and all that. But I think people need to really get involved in that. I mean, government does need to publicly consult whenever they make new decisions and new policies around, you know, how we use wildlife, how we manage our wildlife. And people have a say in it. So don't ignore those calls for, you know, submissions to have your say around what you think about wildlife management. But yeah, educate yourself, first of all, also read as much as you can about the topic. Be conscious about, you know, where your information is coming from. Who's behind, you know, a certain message around wildlife and rhino poaching. Everyone has an agenda. So educate yourself and then take part in those public consultations when the government puts those out.
Fantastic. Where can we – have you guys got a website that we can visit?
Yes, we have a website. It's wwf.org.za. We also have actually today at 1 o'clock, we have a webinar that further discusses, you know, what I've spoken to you about. So okay. You can also go onto our Facebook page. There will be a link to register for that webinar. It's going to be really interesting where they're going to talk about, they're going to have some real experts, on the show, and they're going to talk about, you know, the status of rhinos and the major threats to rhinos and what needs to happen.
Okay.